Good morning. I greet you all in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, who I am extremely grateful for because I know personally what he's done for me. I'd like to give honor to the pastor of this church in his absence, Pastor Bales and his wife, Karen. Also, Pastor Meltzer and his beloved wife. Also, I'd like to give honor to my wife and my family who's here. And I'd like to give a special recognition to my beloved sister in Christ, Joyce, who traveled all the way from Stafford, Virginia, from the Ministries of Hope Christian Church. So we do welcome you. That's not a right around the corner drive, so we do welcome her. And it's good to see you all, the congregation. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God that we are here once again in the house of the Lord. And I'm expecting God to do something great through me. I surrender to him that you all will receive what he has and that you will walk away from here today tremendously blessed.
Amen.
Beyond measure. That's a lot to take in. It just seems simple, but beyond measure, because the Bible says that he's able to go beyond. I can't quite fathom that, but I know that's extremely a lot. Amen? Today I'm going to be coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 26, and we won't read all the way through all those verses, but there's something I just want to point out specifically in the verses, and that's what God said. What is God saying? Are we acutely listening to what God is saying? Amen? If you would, I would ask that you stand for the reading of the word. And just for a moment, you know, I know this seems more like a ritual when you talk about standing for the reading on the word, but I just wanted to share it, you know, because sometimes we lose sight of the significance and the blessed assurance of how we look up and honor the word. And then we think about, first and foremost, what Christ did so that this could be. And then we think about our brothers and sisters that went before us, first century believers and beyond, who were martyred, stoned, and beheaded. So we give honor to the word and we give honor to them and their service. They did that so this could be. And for that, we are extremely grateful. Amen? I want to start in verse 1, and I'll say the verse, and we'll just read that verse per se. Verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let us go to verse 3. Together, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. In verse 9, then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. In verse 11, the word in this text reads, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. Then God said, in verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. In verse 20, it says, then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. In verse 24, the text reads, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so.
Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, amen. And fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So God created man in his own image. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I think it's important to begin with a historical backdrop for the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, these four words that starts in chapter 1 form the foundation for faith. In the beginning, God. There's a presupposition that God already exists. Notice what the text is not saying. The text is not saying that if you believe this or if you believe that God exists, it's already presupposed that God exists. And with these four words of the Bible, if you believe on these words, you can believe everything else that follows in the Word of God. Amen. Genesis goes right into the existence of God. On the first day, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Does that sound familiar? I can attest to that, because I recall so vividly when I was in the realm of the dead. And he called me from darkness to light. Amen. That which God spoke was established. So we know that by reading the text, then God said. So I titled this text as such. The title is, And God said what? And God said many things. And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we're going to share today. And God said, then God said, and he said something else. He says something about your finances. He says something about your marriage. He says something about your illnesses. He says something about your wickedness. He says something about your pervertedness. He says something about all those things. But are we listening? Because if God says something and we believe what God says, then are we doing it? Because that kind of faith is an action. I believe it, so I do it. Why? Because I've been commanded to from God. When you believe something, you do it. You believe that if you stick your key in the ignition of that car and start it up, it will take you from point A to point B. So you do it. If God says that I'm the head and not the tail, then I believe it. If God said that I should be fruitful and multiply, I believe it. It resonates in my spirit. The Holy Spirit of God gives me confirmation that I can walk with confidence, that what God said that I could do, that I could do in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the backdrop of Genesis, we look at how it related to the first century believers and the relationship that God had with them. And I can't help but to think how great was their faith. Because they didn't have what we have concerning the New Testament. So for anybody that makes the argument that, you know, the Old Testament is not that relevant, blah, 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 kind of stick with the New Testament, I beg to differ. Absolutely is relevant. Here's the correlation. One thing we know is that God had a relationship with a chosen generation who he chose that will glorify him. The text tells us that. So we want to bridge the gap, if you will, from first century believers in the relationship that they had with God to the relationship that we have and the correlation. So here's the correlation. We know that God loved them. The Bible tells us that. We know that God sent them a shepherd, a leader, if you will. We know that God blessed them. We know that God reconciled them back to him. So the correlation there is the same God, as said in Malachi 3:6, I am God, I do not change. The same God that had the same relationship with his people then in the first century is the same God that we serve today. In the same relationship, he still loves us as he loved them. He sent us a shepherd. He led, he guided us, he protected us, and he reconciled us to him. Amen? So when we look at that, we see how relevant and alive the Old Testament becomes and the correlation it is to the New. The historical context of Genesis in the book of Genesis is a fascinating account of the ancient times and contain narratives of great beauty, such as Moses and Abraham and the chosen generation and all that God would do. But just what is the background of this first book of the Bible? In short, what is it? Like all history, it is interpretive. It has a theological history to it. The facts narrate a framework of a divine plan. It has been well said that history, biblical history, is history, is his story. It's God's story. Laid out so that we will have that as our guide, as our compass, as our comfort, as our protection. His story. There are two themes coming from the book of Genesis. Two themes, in short, blessings and curses. They are carefully woven throughout the fabric of Genesis. Indeed, the whole word of God, obedience brings enriching blessings and disobedience the opposite. In any event, we now know that the Holy Spirit inspired Moses to write this wonderful text. It comes down to a matter of faith. Either God is capable of producing what he says or he's not. What follows that is that if we believe that he's capable of producing what he says, then are we listening? Are we speaking? Are we walking in what God has said, what he has commanded and instructed us to do? Either he's capable or he's not. There's no in between. There's no gray area. Only the Holy Spirit can illuminate the truth, and the truth is that today we are sitting here as the church, and we know that the church was established by God through Jesus to be led by the Holy Spirit. So the mere fact that we are sitting here today is evidence that what God says shall come to pass, because he created the church through Christ Jesus to be led by his Spirit. So if there's any doubt, look at where you're sitting. That's the word of God spoken into existence. That is our faith. That is our foundation. That is our proof that we know that what God says, it shall come to pass. I believe it in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the world says. I don't care too much about what the president says, about what Congress says, about what politicians says. The only thing that matters to me is what God says, because he has the final authority. In the name of Jesus. Amen? So we know that we know that we know what God says is real, and it shall come to fruition. May not come when you think that it should come, but we know that it will. It says so in the text. So we know that the church was established by God, and we're here today as evidence, and we all stand in agreement. Let's take a look at the text for further illustration. In verse 3, then God said, let there be light. In
We don't have to look far to know that there's light. In verse 6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So you have the rain from up above, and then you have the oceans, the rivers, the streams. We know that that exists. I'm sure you've been to the beach once or twice. Maybe. So we've seen it. We know that it exists. We can stand on that. We know that it exists. In verse 9, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. In verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seeds, and the fruit of the tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself. I don't know, brothers and sisters, what you get from that, but here, let me share with you, if I may, what I get from that. What I gather from that is that whatever God creates, he gives it to the ability to be sustained. We don't have to go look for another orange to plant an orange tree. We don't have to go look for another fish to make another fish, because God has already sustained it to be so. So when we look at that, and we know that God creates, he preserves, in the Bible say that he is the providence. And that simply means that he is the provider. That which he creates, he makes a way for it. He makes a way for it to procreate. He makes a way for it to expand, to expound, if you will. Amen? So when we look at the text and we think, then God said, in verse 20, then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. Anybody had any seafood lately? I have. And what we're simply doing is this, we're establishing. Just hanging in with me for a moment. I'm truly going somewhere with this. But the foundation really, really needs to resonate that what God says has come to pass. It has come to pass, and it will come to pass, irregardless of what it seems like. We have people who are hurting, people who are struggling in their marriages, people who are struggling in their finances, people who are struggling through illnesses and sicknesses and oppression and depression. But I'm here to tell you that what God says, it will happen. And by and through the name of Jesus Christ, I challenge you today that whatever it is that you're going through, whether it's oppression, whether it's depression, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your finances, I challenge you to speak what God said to that situation. I don't care what it looks like. My Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that mean to me? What appears to look this from the natural, by faith, I say what God says, and I speak to that situation. So we shrink not back from the whole counsel of God, meaning from Genesis to Revelation, everything that God says. It is incumbent upon us to study it, to get in the trenches, to go into the chambers and know what God said about my situation. I said something to my wife. I said, I'm believing for a zero debt balance all the way across the board, everything. And she kind of looked at me sideways, you know how a puppy kind of looks, like wondering, like, and I believe it. I truly believe it.
A zero debt balance all the way across the board. I'm talking about mortgage. I'm talking about credit card. I'm talking about a zero debt balance all the way across the board because God said it. He said, you shall be the lender and not the borrower. I believe it and I receive it and I speak it into existence. When I got that bill from that wedding ring and that engagement ring, and at the bottom of it, it said your balance is 0.0.0.0. And that wasn't just a couple dollars for that ring. So I was walking through the house with the piece of paper in my hand, and I was rejoicing. And she was just smiling. She's just watching me. And I was rejoicing. I was, hallelujah. Glory be to God in the name of Jesus. Zero debt balance. Let's put that right there somewhere on the kitchen, on the dining room table, so we could be reminded of what he will do. Because when that bill first came forward, I was like, oh, boy. Woo. Ah. But when I seen them zeros on there, only thing I could do was lift my hands and say, glory, hallelujah, God, you will do it. You will do it. When do we get the opportunity to exercise and to speak in existence what God has said when it presents itself? And here's another reminder. It may not even be for you. But if I see somebody and they're going through something, I know they're going through something, and if they're not, I'm just going to speak the word. Because you know why? It needs to be exercised. It needs to be exercised. So even if it's not in my situation, I'm praying for you, brother, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bless this brother. Bless this sister right here. Whatever you may be going through, brother, in your finances, in your marriage, whether you're suffering from oppression, from depression, whether you're suffering from sickness or illness, bind through the name and the blood of Jesus, I believe what God said. Not by my own authority do I have the right to say nothing, not anything, but what he said. 3 points I want to make. The first point I want to make is that God has given us a measure of authority to speak words as he did. Amen. To speak words as he did. See, here's what we get entangled with. Whatever has been going on TV or what's been going on in the world or what my buddy has been telling me, we start saying some of that stuff and the word gets choked up. But I said something in a group of people, I said something that kind of silenced the room. So a lady on my job, she said, I cough. It was a cough. I wasn't sick or anything. She's like, oh, you're coming down with us. So I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And the office like, what just happened? So you're speaking into the atmosphere. And you don't know what God might do or who heart he might touch. I'm just speaking it. I rebuke it. And I meant what I said. It may come upon me, but it can't take me over. It can't consume my body because bind through the name of the blood of Jesus, by his stripes, I'm healed. I'll say it for me. I'll say it for you. I'll say it to a stranger on the street. If I'm just so happen to be walking past a hospital and I see somebody in the hospital and the ambulance going in, I don't have to be directly on the scene. I believe that if I stretch out my hand, bind through the name of the blood of Jesus, I believe, God, that your presence is there. Exercise it. Keep exercising it. Amen? The authority that God has given us, bind through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's important that we remember that we are his commissioned representatives here on earth, acting as his mouth, his hands, and his feet. Let us follow him in an exercise. He has given us authority. Did he not say in the book of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name and the blood of Jesus? You got where you are in your walk because somebody said what God said. That's how you got where you were. The same authority that he's given them to speak to you, to call you out of darkness into light, is the same authority that you have. So we even see that in the book of Ephesians, where Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he was telling them, he was saying, stop walking around like spiritual paupers. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. You have heavenly treasures beyond measure. In your spiritual bank account, you have adoption, you have acceptance, you have forgiveness, you have redemption. Do I need to say more? You have wisdom. More? The seal of the Holy Spirit. So, when God is speaking, am I saying what he's saying? Because we look in the text, and again, back to Genesis, we look at that, then God said, then God said, then God said, then God said, then God said. And it was so. There's no room for doubt. Whatever God says, there's enough faith in it before he even finishes that it's come to pass. I believe what he says. In the name of Jesus. The second point I want to make is that we have the privilege of approaching God with confidence through Christ Jesus. Remember what I said is that the kind of faith that we as Christians operate in is an acting faith. And when you believe something, when you truly believe something, you do it. If I go to the ATM machine, I believe if I put something in there, something's going to come out. So I act on it. Even more so with this. Because the very existence of God has spoken with authority and has given you a commandment to go and do what I said. Jesus said it. So my second point is we have the privilege of approaching God with confidence through Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 4:14, it says, so then since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Let us come boldly. Not arrogantly, but boldly. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find favor in a time of need. In a time of need. How many people have a need? Amen. If you don't have a need, I encourage you to pass that on to somebody else that does have a need and speak it into their life. Exercise it. Exercise it. That we may find grace, obtain mercy in a time of need. The third point that I wanted to make is that we are instructed to say what God says. We are instructed to say what God says. In the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command. One thing that I always like about sitting under the teaching of Jesus, and I would encourage you just to make time. Don't let the world shape your time. Make time to sit at the feet of Jesus and get the teaching from the rabbi. Get the teaching. Get the teaching. Get the teaching. And I guarantee you, you'll see a result. The book of James said you can't have a genuine encounter with the Holy Spirit and not see a manifestation. It can't happen. It can't happen. Go back and read what James said. I get excited when I think about it. He said, you cannot, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but you cannot have a genuine encounter with the Holy Spirit and there not be a change. I desire a genuine encounter over and over and over and over again. Every day I pray for new blessings and new mercies. So my third point, that we are instructed to say what God says. And Jesus has given us a commandment as he's given his disciples in sitting under the teaching of Jesus. You'll notice that Jesus didn't waste words. He just didn't go around talking about, did you see what was on Wendy Williams and all that stuff was going on down there they did at the park yesterday? He didn't waste the words. Jesus' conversation was always instructive, guiding, and constructive, building. And oftentimes he was doing things simultaneously. He had had Sadducees and the Pharisees over here and the people that was listening and believers and disciples here. So he was building up, shutting down, stuff, just moving by the Spirit. Building up, shutting down. And you have the same authority because he commanded it. He said it in John 14. He said, "If you are my friends, you do what I command you to do." So if you have authority to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how much more authority? How much more? Oh, there's a great amount of much more for you to speak. So I encourage that you will be empowered today to try God and see, won't he move? He said in the book of Numbers 23:9, he said that I am not a man that I should lie. And we know that he speaks the truth. Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And know that his commandments are everlasting." Therefore, what is therefore? Therefore. Therefore is therefore, because he says just prior to that, I know that his commandments are everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Jesus did it. He commanded us to do it. So ask yourself, am I doing it? And God said, what did God say? What did God say about my finances? What did God say about my marriage? What did God say about my place of employment? What did God say about me starting a Bible study? What did God say about me stepping out on my faith? What did God say? And God said, and God said. Every day, we need to know what God said. I need to know what God said before I turn the TV on, because I could be misled. And the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and destroy your finances, your marriage, your health. So I need to know what to speak. If somebody comes into my realm or come into my space with something that I know that's inconsistent with the word of God, it's incumbent upon you, fathers, husbands, men, priests of the households, to know and to speak for our sisters in Christ, to help our men where they fall short and they don't know, to teach them in love. But the Bible says you're on the wrong track. And God said you need to get back on the right track. Speak it. Even in a dim situation, even in the circumstances that where it seems like, you know what, a minister, how do I speak to my situation? I lost all my money. I lost my home. I'm dying. I have cancer. I'm going through this. Even in that, we serve a God that speaks life, that brings you from death to life. And the Apostle Paul said it. He said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. I believe it. It's gain. And we thought we was living on top of the world, but the house that we live in and the car that we drive, there's more. It's gain. It's important that we know what God is saying, beloved. It's important that we know. I challenge you to step out. I challenge you to step out. over and over again, we see illustrations in the Word of God. You know, we just believe in the book of Acts 17, 28. It says that we live and move and have our being in Him. I know I've been in situations where I know that I had messed up. But God, and because we live and move and have our being in Him, He shielded me. He shielded me. He put people in place for my purpose. I know that I know this. I've lived it. I know that I came from the realm of the dead to the living because of a spoken word. I felt some kind of way when I was a young boy, and my grandma would say, "Keith, are you ready for church?" "No, not ready for church. There's more important things I needed to do, like ride my bike and play basketball and run around with my friends." But I'm glad that she spoke a word. She heard a command, and she spoke it. And she said, "As long as you're in here, you'll serve the Lord in our house." And even though I couldn't quite fully understand, I want to say to my grandmother who's sitting up there right now, "Thank you, Grandma. I didn't know. I thought what was in the world was more important." So even when your kids are running rampant and you don't know what to do, just keep speaking the word and keep moving. Keep speaking the word and keep moving. Keep speaking the word and keep moving. And make sure that your actions line up with your words. And remember, beloved, it is an exercise. We haven't arrived yet. And we won't until the coming of the Lord and Savior. But it's an exercise. I fell down yesterday, but I got back up. I got punched in the mouth the other day, but I got back up. Things didn't work out the way that I thought it was in this situation, but I got back up. And I spoke a word from God. And I spoke a word from God. And I'm going to keep speaking it. Moses believed and he spoke. He told the Israelites when he got to the Red Sea, and we all have our Red Sea, figuratively speaking, we have our Red Sea, where you've approached that situation, it just seems, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? I'm faced with a sea. How do I get across that?" Where Moses received the word from God, and he told the Israelites as he stood up on the rock, he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And God moved. Oh, that sent chills down my spine to think about it. I believe it. These stories in the Bible aren't just some fable or some fiction tale. These stories are real. And we as Christians, we stand on the narrative literature, what was written, the people that God used. How the Holy Spirit moved in people and encouraged them to write what God said. We have to give more authority to what God said as opposed to what the world is saying. The world will deceive you. Man will let you down every time. But God, He is faithful. Every time He doesn't change, He's faithful through and through. Whatever it is that I'm going through, whatever it is that I'm suffering from, I believe that He will deliver me. I just do. There's nothing that anybody can say or do about it. You can't convince me otherwise. I just believe it. So in my situation I'm going through, I'm crawling on my knees and on my elbows. I'm crying. It's not coming out. But I believe, Lord. I believe You. I know it's hurting. I know I'm going through. I don't like what I'm in. Something is going on my job. Something is going on in my relationship. Something with my kids. But I believe You, Lord. I believe that You will. I will believe it. I will keep on believing. What God says supersedes anything else. Jeremiah the prophet spoke it.
He said, I know the plans that you have. Says the Lord, they are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He spoke it. And these were men that went through some things. Job spoke it. Job said, I have not departed from the commands of his lip. I have treasured the words of God and from his mouth more than my daily food. That's standing on the word of God. Because I like to eat. He trusted the words that proceeded out of the mouth of God more than his everyday food. Think of the best meal that you've ever had. The word of God is more fulfilling. David's the psalmist said it. The right hand of God. That last scripture text came from Jeremiah 29:11. Familiar text there. David's the psalmist said, it in Psalms 118. He said, the right hand, the hand of God will fight valiantly for me. I shall not die, but live. He said it. God asked King Solomon, what do you desire? King Solomon responded, just simply, Lord, that you will give me something for your people. And God said, well, you know, since that's all that you asked for, I will make you the richest man that ever lived, and I will give you wisdom beyond measure. Our faith. See, if you believe wrong, it'll come out wrong. So your belief has to line up. It has to line up. What is in the book of James? He says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. What's that mean? You miss the mark of what's according to God's will. And James went on to say that you ask so that you can spend it on your own pleasure. Not go down to the homeless shelter and feed the homeless. Rather have a $60,000 car. I want to look nice. But somewhere there's a kid that's not eating, that don't have a jacket, that don't have a book to read. And God said, Jesus spoke, and he said to the leper in Matthew chapter 8, he said, be cleansed, be healed. And he told the disciples that when I go to the Father, greater works than these that you would do. So you see how that works? God sends the seed. The seed is Jesus. The seed is planted into the earth. God begins to speak through Christ. I say what my Father says. Then the disciples come. Then you got 12. Then you got 300, 500, 1,000. Look where we are now. Because of what God said. And my Bible tells me that the word is a seed. Have you planted any seeds this week? Have you planted any seeds? I encourage you to plant seeds so you can just watch trees grow and sprout up. The Apostle Paul spoke it in the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 17. The Apostle Paul spoke, he said, it is God who give life to the dead and call those things that do not exist as though they did. Do you believe it? Yes. I done read that scripture I don't know how many times, and every time I read it, it still blows me aback. That God did it. This what blows me aback, that remembering that I can do it through Christ Jesus. Whatever you're facing and whatever you're challenged with, speak it into existence. Speak to the very thing it is. With boldness and surety in Christ Jesus, speak to the very thing. Doesn't make a difference what it is. It's nothing too great for God.
Whatever you're going through in your situations, oh, you know, I'm still looking for that person, that one, that woman, that man. I want to do this. I thought my career would be here. I thought my career would be there. I thought my finances would be here. I thought I would have that home by now. I need to get this mortgage paid off. I need to speak it. Just speak it in the name of Jesus. I dare you to speak it in the name of Jesus. Just speak it and walk on it.
In the gospel, I believe it's Mark 11:24. Jesus said that when you pray, whether that's yesterday, tomorrow, today, next year, when you pray, believe that you receive it. Right here, right now. Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I'm praying, Lord Father God, that your people here today, Lord Father, will walk away today. With a renewed thought about how precious the words that you have given us, Lord God. And that we will ponder before we speak. What does God want me to say? And God said. And God said what about this? What did he say? What did he say about your situation? You ask yourself and you be honest with yourself, do you really know? And if you don't know, beloved, you either get with somebody that knows, you get with somebody who knows the word, or you go to somebody where you know you can sit down and share the word, and you say, well, help me search the scriptures to see what God said about my situation. In Mark 11:24, that when you pray, you believe that you receive. So I prayed about that. Brother Keith, you know, you want to pray about that situation again? Absolutely not. I've already received that. So you know where I'm at now? I'm rejoicing. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of that. Amen. Same thing with that bill. Kept seeing them payments come out of my check. I was like, oh, Lord, God, have mercy. But when I seen them zeros, but even going through, I kept saying, Lord God, I just gonna believe you're gonna do it. Right now, and it looks like this, but I just believe you're gonna do it. And when I saw them zeros, I said, man, Lord God, thank you. And then I moved on to the next one. I'm looking for stuff for God to do. I'm going to say something against somebody's situation. Anybody, I'm going to say something. I want to speak to somebody's situation. I'm looking for stuff. Going to the grocery store. See somebody in the wheelchair. Praise God. God bless you, brother. I pronounce you healed in the name of Jesus. People are bewildered. Like, oh, my God. You know, he's in the wheelchair. You know, I believe. And I'm exercising it. I'm looking for stuff. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something, God, to bless. Go out the door in the morning, first thing in the morning, I'm looking. Lord, send me. Instruct me. I'm looking for somebody. Somebody needs a blessing, because we're living in a world of loneliness and darkness. And you're a light. And you have the ability and the authority to speak, to say that what God has given us to say. And I'll close and I'll leave you with this. There's a saying that's called the law of reciprocals. Let me explain. East is a reciprocal of West. North is the reciprocal of South. So the law of reciprocals challenges you to look at your situation and find out what the reciprocal of that is. If your heart has a lot of hatred in it, speak love into it. If you don't have a lot of joy in your heart, go find the scriptures on the joy and speak it into existence. There's love, there's hate. There's sickness, there's healing.
there's fear, there's faith. So under the law of reciprocals, my task is to get that information and begin to speak it in those areas. And remember, it's under the authority and the blood and the name of Jesus. You have been empowered. No longer are we to walk around as spiritual paupers. Walk in the abundance of what God has given you. Square your shoulders up. Be encouraged and come boldly before the grace of God, that you will find grace and mercy in a time of need. I leave you as I came in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.